videos. My name is Adam. And then with us, as usual, from the Vimeo offices in Manhattan, New York, Doug, how are you?
Doing super good, Adam. Boy, you acting so corny like Fritos.
Oh, boy.
Blew the delivery a little bit.
Is that from the Mariah Carey song?
Oh, it's from
It's
Infinity.
Totally Mariah Carey.
Oh, sweet. And then since we can hear her, we should do an introduction next. No, that's totally cool. We have a special guest on the podcast with us this week, Jasmeet Sidhu. Currently, you are a trending editor at Facebook, but you have also worked on music videos as a treatment writer. This is the first treatment writer we've had on the podcast, as well as working at Black Hand Cinema, which is Anthony Mandler's production company. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me on. I'm really excited for this.
And then, of course, with us, as usual, north of the wall from Frigid Music Fix, is Mr. Adam Alexander. Adam, how are you?
I'm great. I'm back from the dead.
Yeah!
That's right. Adam was... people don't know, but Adam was actually medically dead for 3 days last week.
Oh, gosh.
That's true.
Yeah, I had a plane booked and everything. I saw the light. Yeah. So, Adam...
I missed some music videos, and I'm ready. I'm back.
Tight. Right. And glad to have you back.
Yeah, thank you for coming back from the dead.
Thanks, guys.
And so, Jasmeet, while we have you on, because we mentioned you've written treatments for music videos, I want to talk a little bit about that, because we've had, like, colorists and, editors and even, like, stunt people on from music videos, and it's, like, pretty clear what they do. But I don't think a lot of people who just, like, are casual fans of music videos really understand how, like, the treatment process works, or even there are people who write treatments for music videos. Could you tell us a little bit about what what your role is when you were working as a treatment editor or treatment writer?
Yeah, sure. So for those who may be listening who are unfamiliar with the treatment writing process, or even just like the music video creation process, usually a record label will decide for an artist that, you know, this is the single we want to promote and this is the music video we want to make out of the single. So a record label, typically from my experience, will then approach different production companies and different directors and say, hey, this is the single we want to be making a music video on for about, you know, $60,000, $100,000, whatever the budget is. Give me your ideas. And depending on the director, either a director will take that song and pitch their idea of their own accord, or they work with someone like me who is, you know, a treatment writer who assists them either formally or informally in terms of putting together ideas for the song, in terms of what the music video would look like, and putting together the actual document, which is called the treatment, which is a step-by-step walking through different scenes, the fashion styles, the tone of the music video. And like I said, it's a whole range of what the relationship with the director could be. It could simply just be the director writes the whole thing and I could just edit it. Or it could even be, you know, the director has completely passed on the song to me and I start to pitch different, you know, ideas of my own accord that the director approves or passes on. During my time, I worked with maybe about 5 different directors, and it really has spanned the range of, you know, it completely hands off to something more collaborative, to something that they just kind of take on, and I just kind of edit the work that they do.
And the format of a treatment is also really interesting, because I think people, you know, more or less know what, like, the format of a feature film script is. I mean, there are software programs that, you know, format it in the correct way, and, like, we've seen treatments that, you know, range from, like, you know, plain text to things that are almost entirely, you know, images to things like you mentioned that have like fashion, fashion plates associated with them. Do you have like a specific like style that you work in, or something that you like when you delivered a treatment that it would like normally look like?
Well, I would say that it's really director specific. There are some directors that I've worked with where it's completely text and it's like in a Word document and they'll just like slice in 5 images in total. And then there are some directors that really take it to the next level. It's like, you know, Pinterest pages of, you know, these are the hairstyles that we're going to feature in the music video. These are like the nail designs that we're going to feature in the music video. Very specific scene by scene breakdowns, storyboards almost, of the music video, whereas other directors just kind of go for the mood or the vibe and sort of an abstract, like, this is what it's kind of going to look like. So it's very unique and specific to each director and their own aesthetic. And there really is no standard that I've seen for what these treatments are supposed to be. And I've just kind of like gone with whatever mood and aesthetic that the director and style that the director that I've been working with has gone with, and sort of adjusted my writing and my image curation and layout to their own style.
Which is kind of fun that it's like so freeform, like there's no like set kind of template. Because like I think Doug, you probably see more treatments than I have. And they're just like all, not all over the place, but like very wildly in like style and tone and like the actual composition of them.
Yeah, even some directors will, their treatments can vary depending on the video. You know, sometimes a director will, it will be a lot more kind of like text based, and other times, you know, there'll be full pages that are just kind of like mood pages, that's all image. And, you know, directors certainly can go back and forth depending on the song and the artist and the need. So yeah, it doesn't just vary from director to director, but within individuals.
And I think it would be interesting, you know, sometimes you look at some of these treatments, we've seen them kind of after the fact, usually after we see the music video.
Or when when they don't get picked up.
Or like when they don't get picked up, yeah. We've seen many of floating treatments out there.
Daniels have put some treatments out that didn't get picked up, and some that they did. I think the turn down for what treatment is on the internet somewhere.
I've seen that one, yeah.
Yeah, and then also AG Roas put some treatments that didn't get picked up out there. And then actually recently he's been tweeting that that idea's been taken. Hmm. Like, he, whatever. That it's just interesting, you know, that he put it online and then is mad that someone made it.
But it's interesting that, like, you know, sometimes the treatments, like, kind of vary wildly from the – or not wildly, but – there are major differences from the actual final product due to, like, you know, production pressure or just compromises that had to be made during whatever point of the production process. I mean, have there been videos you've worked on where you've looked at the final product and, like, barely even recognized the video?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I can just see in my mind entire scenes that I've written that just never made it to the music video because of simple time reasons. Like, oh shit, we're reaching the 12-hour mark of a music video. We can't do this scene.
Do you stick with the process, or are you more of like, once your job is kind of done with the treatment, you're kind of not paying too close attention?
So just to explain my background for a little bit, so I started out in music videos as the office assistant with Black Hen Cinema, which is Anthony Mandler's production company, and he's very hands-on with his own treatments. I would say he does them 99%. So it was really just more of a, you know, after the fact kind of editing process, and then from there I would see that treatment become into a music video in terms of my role as helping to produce that music video, you know, liaising between the record labels. And then later on, when I sort of left the company and became a part-time treatment writer, I became less involved with the production side. So I would kind of write these treatments and then let them go, I guess, into the production world, and then kind of sit back and see a few weeks later, a few months later, like what became of them. So
right.
Yeah, I've kind of seen both sides of the table.
Totally.
And that's, so Black Hen Cinema, it's fun that you worked there, because Anthony Mandler is a very frequent topic on this podcast, obviously.
Oh, is he?
He is, just because
I love him.
Yeah, he makes fantastic, very high profile music.
And just on a personal note, he gave me my very first job in LA in music video, so he will always have a special place in my heart. Shout out to Anthony, if he's ever listening.
Yeah, right.
I am a huge Anthony Mandler fan. I've always really loved his music videos. I think what years were you at Black Hen?
So I moved out to LA in October 2012, and just to quickly backtrack, I was a journalism grad, and I, at the end of my journalism degree at Columbia, I ended up writing him a letter just saying, I just graduated, but I love your music videos. Would you ever want to have coffee with me? And he responded to that email, and that was the momentum for me to come out to LA, where he invited me on the set of his Taylor Swift music video, actually, for I Knew You Were Trouble, that he was shooting at the time. And that's where I met him for the first time and asked for an internship. And he said, yeah. And that's how I ended up coming out to LA and spent an entire year with him at Black Hen Cinema, and then left to pursue other projects, mainly treatment writing, concert photography. And I started freelancing as their production coordinator. So spent a solid year at one production company and then moved on to the wild world. for the second year.
That's pretty incredible that you that all started with just an email, because I think people think of that and like, oh no, you know, that's never going to happen. But
no, and people really cool people tell me like that's incredible that Anthony responded to your letter. And you know, later when I started working with Anthony, and I started, you know, kind of being in charge of the inbox and seeing similar letters to mine, I was like, wait, why did he respond to me? Because he's obviously not responding to these others.
Right.
And, I would say, like, you know, to give myself a little bit of credit, it wasn't just one of those, hey, I just graduated, can you give me a job kind of emails. It was a 4-page email letter, whatever you want to call it, where I really broke down every single music video that he did and explained why I was in love with it,
nice.
Like specific scenes. And it was just, you know, looking back on it, it was just kind of like that naivete or earnestness.
Sure.
And I think maybe that appealed to him. I never actually really asked him why he responded to my email. Maybe I should actually, but.
Did you like include your transcripts or anything like
No, it was honestly just like, I'm, you know, a little lost in my life. I don't know if I want to be a journalist, but I know for sure I love your music videos. If you want to ever have coffee, let me know. And he responded, and I moved out to LA to work for him.
Do you remember what any of those music videos that you mentioned were?
Specifically, I was in love with, because he worked with Rihanna for many of her music videos. I was in love with Only Girl in the World.
Mm-hmm.
I was in love with Run This Town. MIA stood out to me. I think it was called Bucky Gun. It was like one of her first music videos. I don't know. It was just something about, I know people don't typically think of Rihanna as sort of this like artistic music video queen or whatever, but I just love that Only Girl in the World music video. It was just shot in this like outdoor pink hilly background. I don't know if it rings a bell for any of you guys.
Totally,
but...
yeah.
And that's 100%. Rihanna is definitely a music video queen.
Okay.
That is not up for dispute on this.
All right. But yeah, no, it was, and then Run This Town, I was just like blown away by it. And yeah, and I just told him that, and I guess he agreed.
And that MIA video was Bucky Dunn Gun.
Bucky Dunn Gun,
I guess.
It's been a couple years.
2005, yeah, 10 years now.
I'm really excited that we got Adam to say the name of that song on this podcast.
Anthony Mandler has done a ton of Rihanna videos.
Yeah, he was kind of her go-to music video guy for a couple of years, actually.
Yeah, before she kind of moved over to Melina Matsoukas.
Mm-hmm.
More regularly, but even now she's doing stuff with other folks, but Melina did a bunch of stuff in a row. I also want to just backtrack one more step. Before Columbia, you were in Toronto?
I was in Toronto, yes.
So I just wanted to put on the record that I'm now outnumbered 3-1 Canadians.
Wait, who's Canadian?
Both
on this podcast?
Adam.
Oh, snap. Yeah, I'm Canadian. I'm coming out of the closet. It's Canadian.
Coming out of the closet.
I'm from Mississauga.
No shit, I'm from Mississauga.
No way, really?
Yeah, sweet. I went to... Wait, what high school did you go to?
Well,
I left before high school.
Okay. I was like, do we go to the same high school? That's going to be like...
Are we friends?
Are we friends? That's awesome.
And then Adam is in... Adam, you're in Northern Ontario.
Yeah, I'm a little further north. I'm near Sudbury.
Oh, wow. So. No, like to back it up, like I grew up in Brampton, Mississauga, and then did my undergrad at University of Toronto. And then moved to New York to do my master's degree at Columbia. And so I've been in the U.S. since then.
Nice.
But, you know, Hazel McCallion girl right here.
Oh, my God.
No one else is going to recognize that reference, I don't think.
Yeah, if anybody else knows who Hazel McCallion is without Googling it, please email us and we'll mail you $5.
I will personally mail you
$5. Right. You get $5 and an IMDb t-shirt.
I think Hazel McCallion was the mayor of Mississauga when I was born. And I think she still is, so.
Yeah. I mean... Yeah. Woman works it. She's like 95.
She is, yeah. I'm still, every time I travel to Canada and I ask, I just randomly walk up to somebody in Mississauga, at a Tim Hortons usually, and ask if Hazel McCallion is still the
This is totally becoming the most Canadian podcast.
Yeah, it's
we dropped
that.
A Tim Hortons reference. We dropped a Hazel McCallion reference.
Tim Hortons references are a dime a dozen on this podcast. Adam Alexander made one last week and he wasn't even on the podcast with us. So.
Yes, true. We have Tim Hortons right now.
We dropped Tim Hortons references way too much, and I've never even been to one.
Free Wi-Fi. So just back to Anthony Mandler for a second. I think... Yeah, if anybody wants to see like a fantastic catalog of music videos, we'll link to Anthony Mandler's IMVDB page. But I'm just like such a huge, maybe probably around the time that you started, maybe like National Anthem by Lana Del Rey,
mm-hmm.
Some Nights by Fun,
mm-hmm.
And Ride by Lana Del Rey. I love that like 2012 and on, and before that, definitely. But
it's definitely someone who just like, because I feel like making like memorable high level pop videos is really difficult, and there's definitely one video that we're going to be talking about this week that shows how difficult it is and how easy it is to make one shitty, no matter how high level of director you are. And yeah, Anthony Mandler is just somebody who's just like constantly making consistent high level memorable pop music videos, and yeah, we're big fans over here.
Also somebody who I think was Holy Grail the first music video to premiere on Facebook. I think he might be...
It was to actually bring my life full circle. So I work at Facebook right now, and I actually did work on the Holy Grail music video.
Wow.
And it was the first I had no idea I was going to work at Facebook at the time, but it was the first music video to premiere exclusively on Facebook. So, and it was actually, it was an interesting video. As you, if you remember, he chopped up the audio of it, so
yeah.
It was kind of playing in the non-linear audio sequence, and that was
right.
Definitely really exciting too.
So when that music video premiered on Facebook, I don't know if you were privy to the decision behind that. We were, so at that time we found it interesting because at, you know, in 2013 as it is now, like one of the main focuses of music videos are the numbers they put up, and Facebook didn't, I still think they don't provide,
no,
like view numbers.
Facebook now provides view count numbers, but it's relatively new. It's a relatively new addition that at least I could tell. But yeah, at the time they weren't, and that was what one of the biggest surprises of that move to us was that they weren't that like, I don't know, at the time we thought like we like, and we still kind of do, like the view counts in for music videos indicates a lot. Artists like Taylor Swift last, you know, when she broke the single day Vivo
mm-hmm.
record, really, like, she was excited about that. Like, this is Taylor Swift. Like, she has the right to not be excited about anything for the rest of her life. And she was, like, really excited about that element. And, you know, with YouTube view counts now factoring into, you know, more than just that, you know, that what are they using in
Billboard
top 100 now and stuff, that those view counts, like, it was really interesting to us that, you know, an artist was just gonna like forego that element of a music video release to premiere on Facebook.
I guess, yeah, to answer your question, I was not privy to the plans for the music video release. I mainly focused on the production. I assume those plans were made between Facebook and Roc Nation.
Right.
So I had no idea that this was going to happen, actually. So I guess for Anthony, it wasn't a surprise because he did some interviews about the release in Vanity Fair and the New York Times. But it was exciting. Like, this was, what, 2 years ago now. And this had never happened before. It's hard to think of it, but it had never happened that a music video would just go up on Facebook versus YouTube.
And Facebook is really seems to be, at the time, Facebook and video seemed disconnected, a lot more disconnected than they are now. Video and Facebook really seems to be like really focusing on on-site hosted video now.
Right. And, you know, from the limited ability that I can tell you of what I know at Facebook, I know they're working really hard to actively get people to post what we call native video on Facebook, because there's tremendous power in staying within the Facebook portal, and you see the video autoplay
right
within Facebook, and that automatically gives you an intense audience versus having them to exit to an external link, say at Vimeo or YouTube. So I think Facebook is really excited about those potential views.
I know the video series that we're very excited about at work, Wine Wednesdays, by BuzzFeed, is just moved over to Facebook, like exclusively, basically, which I'd never seen before. That's the first time I'd seen like the view counts on Facebook, which is exciting that they're doing that. So Thumbs up to Facebook.
I think you like that. Get it? So dumb.
But we got jokes. We got jokes all over the
place. So many jokes. But no, it is interesting because I do think it seems so like vain. View counts seem like a vain thing to be thinking about, but like
not at all. They make and break careers.
I mean, they do. It matters so much. It really does. It indicates so much, and so. It seems like such, you know, a kind of like surface level thing, and it seems like something that shouldn't matter a ton. But like adding that element to a video hosting environment is like adds a whole additional layer of kind of like legitimacy to the service. Maybe more than it should, but it certainly does a lot. Like it does. Like you're absolutely right. It view counts. Can make a career for sure.
So, Doug, before we get into the music videos from this week, I know you won't. You know, we should mention that our old pals—not old, but pals at OMG—are working under their camp in New York. Correct?
Yeah, they announced this week the LA and New York camps for this summer. But both of them are going to take place in August. The LA camp. It's going to be August 10th through the 14th, and the New York camp is going to be August 24th through the 28th. Every year at OMG Everywhere, which if you've never heard of OMG Everywhere, it's a summer camp run by music video directors to teach kids how to work together to make video projects, mostly music videos. It's a free camp for the kids. And it's a week-long summer camp, and then all of the directors spend the next 2 days after the camp. You know, it's a Monday through Friday camp. Then they spend Friday and all day Saturday editing the videos, and then they have a screening on Sunday where they treat the kids like Hollywood filmmakers. They roll out the red carpet. They do a Q&A with the kids, and they screen all their films in a theater. And it's the greatest thing in the world. One of our favorite things here at IMVDB. And yeah, this week they announced the 2015 schedule for LA and New York. And we'll link to those announcement videos in the show notes. If you're a filmmaker in LA or New York, or even if you're not, and you want to help OMG Everywhere, you watch these videos, you can find out how to do that. But also, like, if you have money, you can help that way too. You don't have to get your hands dirty. You just reach into your old pockets and send them some tax deductible donations and help out a really really awesome project that is run by a bunch of our music video pals. So those links will be in the show notes. Has anyone watched any of these videos? These announcement videos?
I have not yet. No.
They're very fun. The New York one is Danny Madden, who is a director and animator. And the LA one is Susie Francis, who is a production designer and Ellis Ball's girlfriend. And they're hilarious, real fun, hilarious videos. And you got to watch them. Susie's also director. I should mention who Danny's girlfriend is too, because there's no reason why I should just say who Susie's boyfriend is, but I don't know who Danny's girlfriend is, but it's probably someone real nice. So anyway, check out those.
I think that promo for OMG went just perfectly.
Just exactly as we planned as we wrote it up.
I got lost a little bit at the end there, but
it's cool. It doesn't matter.
The idea is that OMG Everywhere has lots of boyfriends and girlfriends helping out.
They get around.
Yeah, they get around. Everybody's attached at that place.
Falling apart.
If you want to see like a product of a previous OMG Everywhere camp, but Doug, you've attended many, many of these.
I
check out the Jack Johnson video.
Yeah.
Which we'll link to in the show notes.
Vimeo staff pick Jack Johnson video.
Vimeo staff pick. I wonder who put in a good word for that.
I didn't have anybody. I wasn't even close to being able to make decisions like that when that video came out. So
that's true.
Not I.
Doug's just picking them all over the place.
And there's one other thing we should talk about before we dig into music videos. One more little promo thing I want to mention. Last year we ran a contest where we gave tickets through our social media account to the music video screening of the LA Film Fest. And this year we're running a similar contest, which is super exciting. On June 12th in Los Angeles, OK Go is going to...
Damien Kulash.
Yeah, Damien Kulash of OK Go is going to be doing a super cool presentation and talk about his music videos. It's called Making Cool Shit, the music videos of OK Go. Shit is slightly censored on the website, but we don't do that here. We say the word. And we're running a contest. All you're going to do is retweet our tweet about this event. And if you're in Los Angeles and you retweet that tweet, it's kind of likely that you're going to get these tickets. We've got two pairs of tickets to this event, and it's going to be super cool. You're going to learn a lot. You're going to have a lot of fun. And all you're going to do is retweet a tweet. Doesn't seem too tough. And we'll link to that tweet in the show notes.
That is really neat because Damien Kulash Jr., I mean, if people aren't familiar with him, he is part of like OK Go and a lead singer.
The lead singer, right, yeah.
And has been like intimately involved, as the entire band is, I believe, in all their music videos, like, you know, Here It Goes Again. And recently a video that I think when it came out got a little bit overlooked, I Won't Let You Down, and all of them, which have been, you know, all have been really important, interesting music videos. And I would love to see Damien Kulash Jr. talk about his, you know, his experience in music videos, because you know, he's one of those rare people who is part of the band but also like really intimately involved in the music video side when the music video side is really important to the success of the band. So
and OK Go is so pivotal in the kind of like this new golden age of music videos that we're kind of in the middle of now. I mean, that treadmill video for Here It Goes Again, like, that really was something that like indicated to people like what can be done with putting music videos on the internet, what type of music videos are going to be popular on the internet, and is a big reason why music videos have seen a resurgence of popularity in the last handful of years.
And that music videos can be awesome without costing $1 million.
Totally.
Four treadmills cost a lot of money, though, Adam.
Yeah, but not a mil.
Not a mil.
Yeah, correct.
I think like 900K, you get four treadmills.
Right.
At least four.
Right.
Yeah. Very expensive treadmills. And Damien Kulash Jr. has been interviewed up and down in magazines and newspapers and stuff like that. He's a guy who has, you know, has talked a lot about music videos. And so, yeah, if you're in the LA area, 100% retweet this, get these tickets, and go see Damien Kulash Jr., because it is absolutely the guy you should see to hear about music videos. So,
and if you don't want to win them and you just want to buy them, you could do that too.
For cash money?
For cash money. The tweet you're retweeting includes a buy link if you want to just buy them. If you don't want to try your luck in the Twitter sweepstakes that we're running, you can just buy the tickets.
If you're not feeling lucky, is what he's saying.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Or you can just buy some treadmills.
Or you can just buy some treadmills with your $1 million.
Invest
that you
in some
have.
Treadmills. So speaking of feeling
treadmills.
Lucky.
Oh, better. Yeah.
I feel like we should start off with... So we're talking about a few music videos from this week. Doug, you've put together a lovely list.
Right.
Of some amazing music videos from this week, and the one I think that made an impression on me, and I think that we can talk about, is Infinity by Miss Mariah Carey, directed by
Brett
somebody,
Ratner.
Somebody that I haven't seen a lot of credits for, but is definitely getting into the game, and we'll talk about why, and that is Mr. Brett Ratner.
Well, he was in the game previously. He's been directing music videos since the 80s.
Right, right. Yeah.
But he hasn't. We don't have him as directing a music video since 2011, probably because he's been busy making giant Hollywood movies.
Right. He's one of those directors that has moved on to, like Michael Bay, that has moved on from music videos to blockbuster films. And is also, I believe, rumored to be dating Mariah Carey.
Oh, really?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I have an article right here from April.
That would make a lot of sense because it's a random sort of foray back into music videos.
It really is a random foray. Because Ratner has done plenty of Mariah Carey music videos. We Belong Together, Touch My Body,
Obsessed,
Hate You, Obsessed Remix, of course.
Touch My Body, an amazing music video.
It's like that.
Yeah, right. He's done a lot. They've been hanging out for years making music videos. Heartbreaker, God, so many.
Oh, well, he did Heartbreaker? I like that music.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like that one.
I mean, they could just be like good friends. We shouldn't just imply that.
Well,
you know.
Talk about this article, Adam. What does it say? What does it reveal?
Well, the title is Brett. This is from April of this year. It says Brett Ratner and Mariah Carey share a night out at the Carlisle.
Not the Carlisle.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
I think it's a hotel.
Yeah. Oh. Wow.
But like hotels have like fancy areas to hang out in.
Totally.
Yeah, like lobbies and stuff. Yeah. Like they have.
When I
want
to go out
nice
for
chairs.
A fancy night, I go to the Motel 6 and say, where's your continental breakfast?
Ratner claimed that they're just friends.
Mm-hmm.
But we should mention that Nick Cannon and Mariah Carey broke up, divorced.
Yeah, I think that's what you call when they get married.
Yeah. So Mariah Carey is single, and Ratner has come back out of a directing hiatus and directed this music video for Mariah Carey called Infinity.
And is it true that Mariah Carey is doing a Las Vegas residency?
Is she?
And this is like the promo for it.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. That makes a lot of sense because she's the concept of this music video is it's very performance-centered. She's performing at a show, but I did notice that the audience of this concert does not look like a normal concert audience. It does look like tourists in Las Vegas in like frumpy jeans and t-shirts. Like it doesn't look like it looks like a Las Vegas tourist audience. And there are elements of the video where Mariah Carey is clearly in Las Vegas. It is clear that this is a Las Vegas show. So I assumed she had a residency, but I didn't know for sure.
I'm like 99% sure this is some promotion for her future residency.
That's the new thing. Britney Spears has a residency in Las Vegas or did.
I think she's still.
Yeah. It's a thing to do.
Shania Twain. I think Celine Dion is still hanging out there. I'm not sure.
Right. Carrot Top, which is unrelated.
I was in Las Vegas in February and Britney Spears was there. I don't know if she's still there. I think Celine Dion has moved on.
Okay.
But Mariah's show, which is just called Mariah, is moving in.
I mean, of course.
Ah, gotcha.
What right. other Mariah what would there be? Yeah. The elusive chanteuse.
Yeah, right. So this video takes place in Las Vegas. It's very, very performance centered, and it also is like in apartment or hotel room centered. Like, in addition to Mariah performing in front of this audience of cell phone holding tourists, she's performing inside of her what appears to be a home. Because she's in a closet and on a couch.
That was my favorite part. It was just like, let's just film in your closet.
Oh my God, the fucking closet. So Mariah Carey and her closet they have a history. When Mariah Carey was on MTV Cribs at least 10 years ago, maybe 20, back when MTV Cribs was on television, Mariah Carey was like was the first person. MTV Cribs used to be three people in an episode. Mariah Carey's crib, which I believe was a New York City apartment, got two full episodes. And I think almost a full episode was her closet. And it was just her going through her all of her belongings that were within her closet. And it was essentially the size of a New York City apartment for just her clothes. So Mariah Carey being in a closet has some history. But if you're going to shoot it, don't just shove a camera in a closet and say, go for it, Mariah, because that's what it feels like they did here. It's not – the shot is not composed – very well at all. Mariah's performance feels very, very stiff and like just very disjointed. Like it feels like it's cut in a weird way. And none of that stuff is like it just didn't seem very flattering to me at all to have her just like performing around dresses hung up. How did anybody else feel about that stuff?
Can I just say that I'm kind of annoyed that this is the music video we're starting with when you had Bad Blood and Taylor Swift. I was like, oh my God, I had a bajillion thoughts about that music video. And I'm like, okay, so what are we getting this week? And I opened up the link you gave me, Doug, and it's Mariah Carey, like Infinity.
The peak. I know.
And her singing in a closet.
Right. You missed the Bad Blood conversation by 2 weeks.
I know,
which is a lot more layers to that video, which, and that's not like an incredibly deep music video either, but it's more than it's better than like Mariah Carey in a closet. Like, what a ridiculous...
Oh, and we're gonna get to the Tinder thing later, yeah. Right?
Oh, whoa, not Tinder, Match.com.
Match.com. Okay,
yeah, we'll get there.
And so, bizarrely enough, apparently Mariah Carey does have a Match.com profile.
Why do you know this?
There's a CNN article called "A Closer Look at Mariah Carey's Match.com Profile."
that was actually a Mariah Carey Match.com profile because I also on Tinder was suggested Zed, and it was just like swipe right to get a $3.99 download of Zed's new album, and it wasn't actually Zed on Tinder. It was somebody who works for Zed. And thought that it would be a good idea to spam my Tinder account with Zed's face. So is it more of that, or is Mariah Carey actually looking for love on Tinder or on Match.com?
This appears to be just like a regular Match.com profile that is like kind of, you know, obviously a part of the promotion for, you know, her promotion of Match.com. Because we should mention that this music video has a plot line, a narrative, if you will. Where Mariah Carey is, you know, kind of lounging on her couch after a performance, presumably.
She hasn't taken her shoes off.
Nope, shoes are still on, dress still on, and she's kind of going through Match.com's Tinder riff-off. And she's got three dudes that have matched with her that she's got her pick of. And for some reason, all three of them show up at her door. So we have to assume that Mariah Carey is separately... given them all, you know, her address and room number
for some reason. Even though she's annoyed when each one shows up.
Yeah, so she's...
Can I just say, like, coming from the treatment writing world, like, I just want to see what this treatment was about. Like, Mariah Carey lounging... Right, first she sings in a closet, and then she's lounging on a couch, and these dudes come to her door. Like, I just want to see that treatment.
I feel like the whole Match.com arc... after the treatment was accepted, they were like, here's what our music video is going to be, and they're like, we cannot afford three dresses that look like Mariah Carey would wear them. We need more money for this video. We got to throw product placements in here. What do we do? Let's write a whole arc of this music video in. It just feels so like taped on to the video after something was like... her performing at Las Vegas and then going and and then being around Las Vegas, that makes a lot more sense than like a whole narrative arc to this music video centered around Match.com. And it also feels just like very, like a very afterthought. Cause like none of the jokes that are associated with the Match.com plot arc land except for, what's that guy's name? Tyson Beckford or something like that?
Beckford, who has been... So he's the guy... He was in Toxic by Britney Spears.
Famously. Yeah. And he's a... You know, he was a very famous model like 10, 15 years ago, right? It's been a while. Yeah.
He's still kind of relative for male models.
Yeah, totally. But he's famous. Certainly like... He's not a young guy anymore. But the only funny part of this video is when he rubs his nipple. That part is funny. And then rest of the video not funny in any of the ways they want it to be funny.
What about when the nipples like independently like move?
Well, that's great. That's very expected for somebody with pectorals of his capacity.
Just don't ask for it. Mine independently move when I eat Doritos. I don't have no pectorals.
Cool.
And Doritos. Product placement for our podcast.
Yeah, we got our Doritos product placement.
Do you guys have like a sponsorship on this podcast?
We do.
For Doritos?
And, okay. And their only stipulation is that if we talk about their product, it has to be associated directly to Adam Alexander's nipple. So,
All right, perfect.
It's a really weird stipulation, but we don't judge.
So the next guy to try to win Mariah Carey's love is a guy named Jeff Beecher.
Oh, it's a real. Is he a famous guy?
I think he's a comedian. Yeah. Mm. So he's a kind of a dumpy older white guy who shows up with some flowers and again, why did Mariah Carey explicitly give out her address
to this man? Yeah. I don't know. And also I'm more happy that he's a famous person. At first I thought it was just like LOL fat white guy Mariah Carey, why, what is she doing? This is our joke that a fat white guy is showing up to Mariah Carey's house.
And the third guy is I can't, I don't know how to pronounce his name, is Jussi Smollier, who weirdly enough co-starred in The Mighty Ducks and North. I don't even guys
weird.
Remember that is Rob weird. Reiner's North movie from 1984.
Don't remember North, do remember Mighty
is that
Ducks.
With Elijah Wood?
Yes, Elijah Wood was in North.
There you go.
So no, you haven't heard of it.
So he's in this video, and he brings Mariah Carey a dog. Mariah Carey likes a dog, and the joke is that she shuts the door on him, but likes the dog. But then at the end, she's like...
with him.
This is one of the weirdest endings to a music video that I've seen in a long, long time.
Yep.
For a very long time in this music video, I thought we were getting sort of a parody of a Mariah Carey music video. There's that weird, awkward thing where she's attempting to pour a champagne bottle into a, you know, champagne into a glass in her closet, and she's fumbling around. I thought, oh, here we go, now it's gonna get funny. But it's all very like very unselfconscious. And at the end, she gets in the car with the guy, the younger guy, who she closed the door on, and they go out for Las Vegas night. But then one of the ending shots is just her, like, it lingers way too long. It's a selfie, her taking
the
selfie with
shot
the dog
is so weird.
Yeah.
Is this guy also kind of doing a Nick Cannon impersonation?
No, I don't think
you
so.
You don't think so? Because he feels...
I mean, like, I think the whole video is kind of like, hey, Nick Cannon, I'm dating, I'm young and hot,
yeah,
but
totally.
I don't think that's supposed to be a Nick Cannon.
Okay,
no.
He just feels, like, styled a lot to me. Like, I feel like if I saw Nick Cannon, like... show up at the Kids' Choice Awards or something like that, then he'd be wearing this bow tie and this blue blazer, and he'd maybe have glasses with no frames in them.
I don't see it.
Okay, all right.
But maybe.
It did cross my mind slightly. But since this guy... But that was also before I knew that this guy was also a famous guy.
He's also gay, too, which I don't know if that factors into...
Well, it's weird. This whole video is weird.
It's a Mariah Carey video. It's always going to be weird.
Yeah, but there are some fantastic Mariah Carey videos out there.
But we're talking about like Mariah Carey like 2010.
Yeah, you're right. Mariah Carey when I was in middle school is where it was at. Like Always Be My Baby and all of that stuff. Mariah Carey has had like...
We should do a podcast on the history of Mariah Carey music videos.
We should.
Because there is a definite like evolution.
Mariah Carey has had like 11 careers. She's like R. Kelly in that... she was like a big R&B star in like the very early 90s and then was able to reinvent herself with the way R&B changed. And I feel like R. Kelly did the same way. Like whatever you look at an R. Kelly video from whatever era and he's just like wearing the urban clothes of that era. It's like when basketball jerseys were popular, he was wearing basketball jerseys even though he was like already 40. And I feel like Mariah Carey is the same way. Her music and her style has always fit R&B of the generation. And so now I feel like now she's too removed, doesn't really understand where R&B is. She's doing
she's kind
doing
of rapping this video.
Yeah, she is rapping. That's why I was able to use her lyric as my opening line. Because she is. She's very much rapping. She's not, like, hitting those massive high notes that Mariah Carey, like, used to be so famous for. And she's doing, like, Las Vegas residencies.
I honestly think Mariah Carey missed her moment. I think, you know, when we kind of entered this, like, the dance kind of thing with, like, the onset of Lady Gaga and Rihanna adapted her music to more of a dance-oriented style, Mariah Carey just stayed in that, like, 1990s R&B mood, and then she just became a parody of herself.
Right, she did. And then, like, we got Ariana Grande, who's now, like, you know, 20K-15 Mariah Carey voice level. And, yeah, now Mariah is a little bit of a joke, unfortunately. We still have her location as Newport, New York. We need to change that. sorry. Database fun.
Yeah, we did this video. We did it.
We did this video.
No, no, we still have another good 10 minutes on this video.
Yeah, a little 10, just 10 more minutes to really get to the core of it.
So, well, we should mention that this video is, like, really... bizarrely disjointed in a way that I don't like. I don't think I fully understand yet, because just like skimming through this video, you forget that there is a solo, very dramatically lit violin player that is like one of the centerpieces in the video right. for the first 30 seconds.
I completely forgot about the dramatically lit violin player.
Yeah, like what part, like what is, why is it in there?
Everything about this video is just why. Like, yeah, why?
There are so many whys. So many whys. So what is Brett Ratner doing? Do we have time to just be like, what are you, like, what is he thinking? Like,
it has to be like him and Mariah just go way back and she just asked for a favor.
Right.
And like, but he just did it.
But like, couldn't he write something that makes sense? I just don't get why the concept coming from someone who like, it's one thing when like Spike Lee comes to music videos, and Spike Lee's only made a handful of music videos, and I don't think he really understands the format. Brett Ratner does. He's done tons of great music videos, but like, there is no moment in this music video where I'm like, where I think that it makes sense or that it's helping anyone involved.
To me, it just feels like the ultimate made up on the day idea. Mm-hmm. Like, oh yeah, I'm sure they had to, you know, bring the three suitors in ahead of time, but it's just like, it's just such a flimsy idea to hang their hat on.
Yeah,
and there is a genuine sort of weird vibe going on beneath this video. That
genuine, unintentional weird vibe.
Unintentional, yeah. But anyway, so Mariah Carey, she's checking it out in Las Vegas, and I think she has a. When I was in Las Vegas, I was surprised at how kind of like secondary Britney Spears' show and venue was. Like, she's on the main strip, but she's kind of in a second or third rate venue, you know. I was really surprised how like marginalized she was. I hope that Mariah Carey's Mariah show is kind of front and center, because for serious, like there's way too many Cirque du Soleil's there. I think
there's so many. I know. It's too many. Way too many. One is too many. Now we've done it.
Yeah.
Now we've talked about that video. Okay. Let's talk about a video that I like. And that hopefully everybody likes.
This is remarkable, though. This is the longest we've talked about one video, I think.
Has it really been?
No, I don't think so. We usually...
I mean, I could talk about Mariah all day long. Like, let's do the Mariah Carey podcast.
Yeah, right. We usually talk the most about the first horrible pop video that we talk about. I'd like to talk about Ready by Codaline. What do you guys think? This is a video I like. Is this a video that everyone likes?
So we should, before anybody says if they like it or not, we should talk about the plot of this video.
Sure.
So directed by Abtin Bagheri, and shot by Isaac Bauman, who's been on this podcast. It stars Christopher Mintz-Plasse, who is better known as McLovin from the Superbad movie.
Mm-hmm. Bauman been on this podcast? Or has he just...
Oh, sorry, he's been on the blog, sorry.
And commentaries.
And commentaries, yeah. So this is a really weird, you know, interesting music video. It stars, you know, Christopher Mintz-Plasse as somebody who is wheelchair bound, and you know, the opening.
Who is McLovin? If you didn't know
who
that.
Who is McLovin? Right. I'm sure that he doesn't regret at all starring in that movie and having everybody call him McLovin every day.
Well, he was nobody. Like he was. Just
he was
a high
nobody
school
before kid. That yeah. movie. So.
He was a high school kid.
If he's so. Annoyed by it, like.
Get over it.
Yeah. So it opens up with him kind of just sitting, you know, in his driveway in this wheelchair, and then he starts racing with this kid, and it becomes apparent through really, I think, artfully done kind of reveal as to what's going on, that he is a former jockey who is now paralyzed from the waist down, who is working out, and you know, there are all sorts of interesting relationships in this movie, but at the end, he gets on a horse. And I think the thing that surprised me the most is, like, by the end, it's very clear what's going on. It's very clear, like, that he is a former jockey getting on this horse. But then at the end of this video, there is, like, a message from a legit organization called PDJF, which is the Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund. That's a charity that provides financial assistance to former jockeys who have suffered catastrophic on-track injuries, which I thought was, like, I wasn't expecting that. I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah, totally. Especially because this video, like, strikes this interesting balance where it's got McLovin in it. Like, everyone knows who that guy is when you see him. And, like, it kind of, like, toes this line of, like, you don't know whether this is supposed to be earnest or funny or mm-hmm. both. It's kind of like bouncing back and forth. Like, there's a family element to the video. You definitely feel for this character and for his like clear like dedication to like come back from what is clearly a very serious injury. He's got like support around him. He's got like a daughter. But there's also like just like this very weird vibe to the whole video where like there are so many very deliberate choices made that are so strange. Like there's a shot of his daughter with these giant white dogs and it kind of like pulls back. Like so many of the shots either push in or pull back, and it pulls back from the dogs to like reveal him like doing these like dips and like working out. And it's very clear that those dogs were deliberate, the kid was deliberate, the shot was deliberate, but like the meaning behind it all is not like very immediately clear. It's all just like kind of setting this atmosphere that, like I said, like toes this line between like funny but also kind of like heartwarming and honest. And it's real interesting, this like balance it strikes.
And for me personally, like having watched the video, I had to watch it till the end to realize like this was a thing, like the Disabled Jockeys Fund. I had no idea that this was, that's what it was leading to. So when I was watching the video, I was kind of uncomfortable. I'm like, because I knew that this was the super bad guy. I'm like, he's not wheelchair bound in real life. So what point are they trying to make? Like, are they just using the wheelchair point as sort of like an emotional arc that they needed in the music video? And I felt kind of like falsely manipulated. I'm like, oh, we're supposed to feel sorry because he's in a wheelchair. But then finally, when I got to the end and realized that this was supposed to be some sort of message for, you know, real life jockeys that may have been disabled from riding horses, then it's like, okay, I can kind of see where it's going. But I kind of agree with you that the tone is kind of off.
It's interesting. Yeah. I actually like, so I enjoyed that, like, I didn't know how to, like, it's not that I didn't know how to feel about it. I felt like the music video wasn't telling me how to feel about it. And that it's kind of like up to the viewer to like whether or not you want to just like watch this as like really like heartwarming, because of like it's really like beautiful too in the like Isaac just like crushed it. The grade is really great too. But then it also like I said, it's also McLovin. It ends in a freeze frame. It you know, it's got like a kind of a surreal vibe to it as well. And I like that it's like kind of up to you how to kind of feel about it. And it doesn't make that decision for you.
I mean, we've talked a little bit before about how music videos, as they rise in popularity, are becoming more of a viable place for actors who are known for other things to explore dramatic and more interesting roles without having to commit to an entire indie film.
Right.
And, you know, we've seen that with, like, Andrew Garfield with the We Exist by Arcade Fire video. We've seen it with Jake Gyllenhaal with the Time to Dance Shoes video from a few years ago. It really is, like, the perfect vehicle for that. And I feel like that's exactly what, you know, Christopher Mintz-Plasse is doing here. I feel like he's trying his shoes on a dramatic role. I'm sure he's done dramatic roles in the past, but it is interesting. I think it is, you know, definitely written and played off as a straight dramatic role.
Right.
And it's just our, you know, sort of experience of, you know, who he is and is, and because he's very famous for playing one singular role in one singular character, that we bring that kind of baggage to it. But I think that, you know, whether or not that's successful for him, I think on the video side as a whole, it's very successful.
And he has done other music videos that kind of toe this similar line. He's in an Unknown Moral Orchestra video called So Good at Being in Trouble, where he like plays this like a boyfriend who's looking for his missing girlfriend, and he finds that she's like joined a cult. And he tries to go, like, rescue her from this cult. And this cult is very, like, weird and wacky. And the video is treated kind of in a very wacky way. But it, like, deals with a very serious, like, kind of, like, kidnapping, brainwashing, kind of, like, lost love things. So it seems like he's trying to take on these parts in music videos and is willing to work in music videos in ways that are very non-McLovin, non-bad guy in Kick-Ass, like... Definitely trying on trying different types of roles that he otherwise might not have the opportunity to work on in feature films. And I love when this type of stuff happens, when like a recognizable RM actor is able to bring something unique to a music video.
Yeah, it's interesting. I actually did not recognize him as McLovin until like halfway through this video.
Really?
I don't know if anybody else was I had this realization. I was like, hey, is that the guy?
Yeah.
That's the guy from The Thing. Because, you know, it's been a long ass time since I've seen Superbad.
Right. No, I recognize him right away.
Side note, I went to high school with Michael Cera.
Nice.
You know, Brampton, Mississauga, what up?
Oh, no way, yeah.
Yeah. So I recognized him.
Yeah, right away. Totally, me too.
Michael Cera, I think the quintessential Canadian of his generation.
Yeah, he is.
Is he really? Because I don't like that he's the quintessential Canadian.
I think he kind of... For his generation, probably. I think... Seth
not Justin Bieber, you know, Drake, Ryan Gosling.
Well, so I think Drake is an. I want to say Drake feels like a generation prior to Michael Cera, and I feel like Seth Rogen feels like a generation prior to Drake. And I might be shrinking generations down, but like to me, that's
the timeline of Canadians that come into American pop culture.
I got like I put about a 3 to 4 year span on a generation.
All right.
If you didn't spend any time in high school with a person, they're not in your generation.
We totally went way off of this music video.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
We do that a lot.
Just a fun fact: my brother Derek, younger than me, same age as Drake to the day and to the hospital.
Oh snap!
Weird.
Yeah.
You guys saw Drake's parents and you didn't even know it.
That's right. And I was like, yeah, I think
you saw Drake from the bottom.
Yeah. Wow.
Now
way at the bottom.
Yeah.
Baby
very, very bottom.
Toronto General Hospital, yo.
Yeah. Right.
That reminds me of that another Canadian, Jean Lajoie video. Started out as a baby, which is a parody of started as
a baby. I think if you're going to mention Jean Lajoie, we can use that as a transition to Necrogoblicon, because this is a music video is written and produced by Brandon Dermer, who is a frequent collaborator of... Jean Lajoie. So, what do you think?
And Necroglobicon.
And Necroglobicon.
Goblicon, sorry, I always pronounce it wrong.
I obviously this follows the original Necroglobicon video for No One Survives.
It even has Caden Cross in it.
It even has Caden Cross in it, and it picks up where that video left off. And that video played at South by Southwest and is a really fantastic video. And this video kind of picks up where that one left off with the goblin who stars in that video trying to pitch the band Necrogoblicon additional music video ideas. And the name of the song is We Need a Gimmick. So it ties directly into the song title where he's just trying to come up with the next gimmick for their next music video idea to try to carry on the legacy of, I guess what they're saying is the gimmick of their first music video idea, which, you know, I mean, it blew up. Necrogoblicon is not a huge band, but this video is over 4 million views. Like I mentioned, it played at South by Southwest. I mean, it was a big deal for them. I don't believe We Need a Gimmick is gonna hit 4 million views.
I mean, it's at 40K, so give it some time.
It's at 40K. It needs a little bit of time. Right. And who knows? It could get picked up. I feel like, large portions of this video are spent just showing view counts dropping for it. So I feel like they kind of are aware that this isn't going to, like, they realize that it's not necessarily intended to kind of reach the heights of the other one. But that's the joke, that's all they're kind of trying to do as these... for this music video is to come up with one, and I just think I thought it was real fun and real funny, and this is not my favorite type of music, but I can tolerate it when it accompanies kind of a fun crazy goblin like this video does.
There's a great kind of meta joke in this video where the YouTube view counts are going down and they kind of hang around 301.
Right.
That lingers on that, and 301 is the famous. If there's a super popular video that just came out, it'll often be at 301 views because it's the view count that YouTube, as I understand it, that's where their automatic sort of like fake view count detection system comes in and sort of verifies that the view count and the views are legitimate before it can, you know, before it bumps up to the correct view count.
Yeah, they continue to count them, but they won't display that number until they verify the views. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, frequently a Vevo video for its the first day of release will be sitting at 301. YouTube has now added a plus sign, so it says 301 plus mm-hmm. now.
I hope they never get rid of that. It's very comforting.
The 301 thing?
Yeah, I just feel like there is going to be a day that YouTube's like, yeah, we do, you know, we have the technology, we don't have to do the 301 thing. And I just like it. I just like that I go to a video and it's 301 plus and I'm like, oh shit, things are happening for this video. We got 301 plus.
I've had people like be fooled by it just in my like Facebook feed or whatever. They'd be like, yo, I'm the first to this video, I can't believe it, nobody has seen this video yet. Meanwhile, it's got like 40,000 thumbs up, you know, upvotes. Mm-hmm. But they're like, yo, I'm the 302nd person to watch this new Taylor Swift video or whatever. Nobody who would be watching a Taylor Swift video talks like the person I was just doing an impression of, but yo, the new 2 Chainz video. Anyway, I think those are all the things I wanted to talk about the Necrogothicon video.
I do have to say, like, I did kind of, once I got into the video, I did kind of like the meta commentary. I didn't agree with all of it, because it's like, you go back to the stereotypes. Like, music videos can be made of, as a genre, very easily. But right. It was cute. Yeah. I liked it for what it was.
And I'm just a fan of the kind of continuing the story of this goblin. He also made an appearance in the Power Core video. I just like that this goblin has continued to be part of this band's legacy, and you know, this video literally picked up where the No One Survives video left off, because I really love the No One Survives video. It was definitely one of my favorite videos from 2012, and it really kind of holds up.
And if you want to hear like the story of how Brandon Dermer, who directed the No One Survives video, like kind of approached the, it's a really interesting story of how he approached the band and how that video got made, and he does a great commentary on the site.
Yeah, so. We had him on the podcast, but yeah, the commentary is specific to the No One Survives video, and I think it's super fun.
So should we pick one more, Doug? One,
yeah,
more
for the end? It's a little late. I want to either talk about, maybe we can get both of these two.
Yeah, I think we just do one.
Okay, so what do you guys want to do? Do you want to do Drool, or do you want to do
Jasmine, what do you pick?
I mean, both of these were kind of interesting. Let's do Ganja Man.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ganja Man is fun. I mean, like both of these.
I know Drool had like the nipples, but let's do
Ganja Man. It's not so much the nipples that was. I like the atmosphere of that video.
I like the nipples.
Okay. Thanks, Adam.
You can go back to the Mariah Carey video if you want to look at some nipples.
Right. Tyson Beckford has got them for you, buddy. Let's talk about Ganja Man, because this video is a lot of fun and pretty wild.
So to summarize this video, it begins with a family sitting on a couch, and they're watching, it seems to be kind of referencing the 80s-ish, you know, they're watching something with the kids, and the video cuts in, and this
it's like a new special news report.
Special news report, basically all he says is there's a song called Ganja Man that is making people go insane. And then next day, a piece of raw meat with teeth and eyes, which is going to haunt me, in my dreams.
Pretty sure it's going to be in my nightmares tonight. Right. As well.
Oh, good. Yeah. Then in solidarity, because it will be in mine. He starts singing the Ganja Man song, and the dad goes insane. And, the way he goes insane is interesting.
Nostrils based.
Nostril,
yeah. I love the nostrils on the beat. Yeah, it was delightful.
It was one of my favorite parts of the video. The nostrils, like, as soon as that happened, I'm like, oh, love this video. This is definitely a great video.
That's the first sign of insanity, nostril flaring to a beat.
My question is, if I wonder if this guy was able to do that practically, or if they had to, like, do that.
I'm sure he was able to, like, do it on the beat. I would that. Bet my money on that.
That's like what, like when they were casting for this part, they it was all nostrils based casting. It was just like, we're gonna play this song, dance with your nose to it, and he was like, got it. So teeth singing, the blob of teeth.
Yeah. But so then next he starts to eat. He goes in the kitchen and starts to eat a lot of food, which is, I guess, he starts to eat raw cauliflower and chicken and stuff because he's got to get his energy up because he's going to dance.
He's got a big night.
Did anyone else get like a turn down for what vibe from this?
A little bit, definitely. Yeah,
like some guy who's just so consumed by or overwhelmed by the song that he just can't help himself just like jiving out. And
he's breaking a bunch of shit definitely.
I didn't even think of that. That is totally very, very accurate, yeah.
And the way that the room is set up, it feels a lot like
the lighting and like I totally, when I saw this for the first time this afternoon, I'm like, this is like the turn down for what video.
Yeah, it's got a lot of turn down for what in there for sure. At least in the setup,
because he goes
it's
to
turn down for what light,
right?
But it is, yeah.
Yeah, it starts in a kind
and
of
just like him like place. Gyrating in different wild random places. It's completely reminded me of that video.
Yeah, it goes to, I feel like it goes to a different place. I love that he squirts what I'm assuming is ranch into his mouth, but then he like leaves the house and goes to like a what appears to be like a retirement home
where they're playing, where they're going there after,
because there's a moment where you think like that he's getting like he seems to be getting all turned on, and then his like wife comes in the room and they kind of like make eye contact, like you think like maybe he's gonna try to like do something sexy with his wife, and then he busts two plates on his head and immediately bolts to it, immediately bolts to a retirement home where they're bingo. It's just like such an unexpected turn.
And
like, is that just me who like thought that there was a moment where he and his wife were gonna do something together?
I thought that too.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
But who in their house has a ceramic sculpture of two bunnies? Fucking.
Oh right, that's what gave me. Right, I thought that too. Right, he like looks at
who
this sculpture.
Has that? Who's able to casually glance around their kitchen and see two animals having sex in sculpture form?
When you have kids.
Yeah. That part made no sense to me. And it was just like, and then he looks at his wife and his wife kind of looks back at him scared. And then they totally switch it up and the guy smashes two plates and goes to, I loved that part of the video.
Yeah, it was a cool turn. And then it's like a party at this old folks' home. He's still very aggressive and angry, but all of these retirees are getting into it with him, and it gets very choreographed. There's a kind of a Soul Train dance line going on.
Yeah, very Soul Train-esque. I would agree.
Well, additional drug use potentially. A lot of eating. And
I mean, is he supposed to be on some kind of, is that implied that he's supposed to be on some kind of drug?
Well,
or?
I guess it's just
sweating really bad.
The fact that the song is Ganja Man.
Ganja.
I mean, okay.
Yeah, that's part of it.
I forgot about that part.
You look at the kind of cover. I mean, it's the song that's supposed to be that's doing this, but like,
he is sweating profusely.
I guess it's supposed to be a drug.
It may be a little uncomfortable because the fact that his like shirt's tucked in and he's sweating really hard.
So just really,
okay, what is the wife eating at the end? That was confusing.
She's on the ganja now too. He's happy about that.
And yeah, he's stoked about it. And he does have like a very.
Okay, I thought it was like lettuce, or I didn't know.
I
what
thought
was
it was a head
on.
Of lettuce too.
And, like, a head of lettuce.
Is this like some weird message for like raw food veganism?
Well, like, that's the thing. Like, he was just eating aggressively too. So I guess it just indicates that she's on board with it. So their night continues even though the video ends, which is great for them. It's great for them. At that stage of the relationship, if you still have things to get excited about, it's a big deal.
Just again, I want to reiterate that these people have a ceramic sculpture of two bunnies fucking in their kitchen.
And can't let kids. That go.
They have kids, and this exists. Like, before the Ganja Man song affected this guy's whole world, he had that bunny fucking statue. maybe it's a Maybe it's a cookie jar, potentially, because it is in the kitchen.
That's a ganja jar.
Oh, God, that makes sense. That's where I keep my ganja.
Exactly.
Jar of 1976. Well, is that even how fun? Don't answer that.
No, no, we're not going to go there.
I didn't know.
They were watching an Animal Planet documentary at the beginning.
Yeah.
Right.
Like these, those two, like, mooses or moose. Or mooses isn't a word, is it? Mooses?
It's just moose.
Sorry, yeah. Mises.
Two mises going at it. Maybe there are other animals.
Everyone involved in this video was high on ganja.
Potentially. Mm-hmm. Except for the news guy.
Him too.
Yeah, maybe.
He's just a little bit more subtle.
Yeah, him the most. Him the most.
We do need to mention the weirdness of this piece of seeing meat as well, or maybe we don't need to.
I think we got it covered. And
the singing meat was normal in comparison to the fucking bunnies.
Yeah, kind of.
And if we just mentioned, this is directed by Casper Balzlev. And yeah, I like this video a lot.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
I think we did it.
I will direct people to the Drool End Girl video. I think it's really fantastic. But...
Do you really?
Yeah, I do. I like it a lot. I like it a lot. I thought it was really... I like the concept of it. I think it's, like, very dreamy and weird and very beautifully composed.
I'm with you, Doug. It's a stylish video.
As a female, I'm just, like, so over just, like, nakedness and let's just look at the nakedness in a video.
I don't know, it's
interesting, right? Because I think some females directed it, so I don't know,
but it's directed by that, females. I give a video
that doesn't give it a pass to like all females are gonna respond.
Absolutely not. Although I do it does get in a like if this was directed by a male, I think it you can't make an argument for a pass at all. I think the fact that it is female directors, potentially there's a pass. But I just like all the really like weird, unexpected elements, like the band performing, like just like suddenly breaks out into dance.
I was gonna say I do like the random dance break.
Yeah, and all of that stuff, and like the really weird kind of like big head effects and stuff. Like, and I think that it's like craft wise really impressive too.
It's done in one shot, right?
Or at least
and it needs to be. I feel like it's more than just objectification of women. There's some layers to this video. It has something to it.
Yeah, I've yet to identify what those layers are.
Exactly.
But I'm confident that they're there.
It's not just dumb nipples. There's
it's
a
not
little more.
Just dumb nipples. I agree with that. What it does mean, I don't know, but not just dumb nipples. I don't know, man.
Just like it opens up on a prolonged shot on the ass, and it just turned me off from there.
I can see that being something that could make people lose interest right away, and it could be something that could make other people be the only reason they're interested. That's certainly not.
Depends on your cup of tea, I guess, with this video. So you should definitely put a link out there.
Yeah, I didn't like it. Because of the nipples.
Well, they didn't hurt.
I wasn't upset about them. I think that there's probably a statement about music videos being made in those elements, or about, you know, because this is a video about a music video being made. And so I feel like that's part of what's being said, is that, you know, it's like subversive and, but still like presented in a very like dreamy, beautiful way.
I'm gonna go write a think piece about it right now.
Please do.
I'll share the link.
Let us know what you think.
AdamAlexanderThinks.com.
AdamAlexanderThinks.com.
That's a really long domain name.
It is. Well, it's actually .com. It's AdamAlexanderThink.ks. Mm-hmm. So he like spells the word out with the .ks.
It's the domain for Kansas.
Right, the Kansas City.
And it's only gonna be out for 6 months because I can only afford it that long. Yeah, so need it quick.
The feds are after him.
His thoughts, but for only for 6 months.
Right.
there's a 1964 movie called Empire by Andy Warhol that is famously 485 minutes of the Empire State Building. Just one shot of the Empire State Building for 485 minutes. And Andy Warhol famously said that this is a movie not to be watched, but to be talked about. And I feel like music videos like this are like the opposite. It's like not a music video we talked about. It's just a music video to be watched. I just can't think of anything to like talk about with this video.
Well, I guess you can try to like kind of unearth and uncover what each of the layers means, but I think that kind of makes sense, that it's not necessarily meant to dice out, and that you kind of just...
Okay, yeah, just like you watch it, you watch the butts, you roll with it, and you watch if you want to watch the butts, whatever.
Yeah, if it's not your thing, if you're not into it,
that's cool.
That's tight.
But it's not like J-Lo and Iggy Azalea butts. There's a little more to it.
Yeah. Are we actually going to talk about like a butt hierarchy right now?
we've been there.
All right. We have.
Do I need to go through the back catalog and see what you guys have been talking about?
Maybe don't. None of that makes us sound like we know what we're talking about.
We really did.
We have done it. We have officially done it.
So Jasmine, thank you so much for joining us for the podcast.
Yeah, no, I had a good time. I just have to say, please invite me back when you guys talk about pop videos.
Yeah, no,
this totally was an interesting selection, Doug.
Yeah, no, look, I can work with what the week gives me. I can't really, Alan did a Kelly Clarkson video, but that came out last week.
I just happened to land on the week of like goblins and you know
goblins and butts. But
we'll... and buddies having sex statues. Yeah. And...
and Jasmine, we can find your work on Face. It's facebook.com. I think I've got
where?
That right.
Yeah, yeah, I mean that's where I am. Facebook.
It's the facebook.com.
It's a social media startup. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure you've heard of it.
Is it the facebook.com or just facebook.com?
It is just facebook.com.
Okay.
Right. But I'm on Twitter at Jasmeet Sidhu. If you guys have any comments on what I said on this podcast, that would
sweet.
Be. I'm up for conversing.
And nice. there'll be a link in the show notes.
But no, seriously, I had a lot of fun and sweet. Yeah. Thanks for having me on.
Definitely. And yeah, when the next time we got a pop heavy week, you'll be our first call.
Any week where you have like Nicki Minaj, Taylor Swift, I've got material for you.
Cool.
Guys.
Nice.
So call me then.
Despite this not being in your wheelhouse, no, it was
I've got some stories.
More insightful than us. So
ooh, story time. All right. Next time we're definitely having you on for story time.
All right. Well, thank you guys.
Sweet. We'll see you guys next.